It's Saturday, June 18th, 2005. I'm Alan Joyce, and this is the Everything Digital Podcast.
The Everything Digital Podcast. If it's digital, you're going to hear about it. Unless it's Windows.
All right, it's the Everything Digital Podcast. It's been a while since I've done one of these. More stuff getting in the way. Doing it in the morning today. Morning my time anyway. United States West Coast. So might be some interruptions. Usually I like to do it sort of late at night so that no interruptions, no gardeners outside. I think the neighbor's gardeners are out there right now. So you may hear some leaf blowing in the background. But figured I'd just get it done. I was going to do it last night. Didn't quite get to it, so I'm doing it Saturday morning. Something just I wanted to address just before we start here is that I've been posting a whole lot more on everythingdigital.org lately. If you don't go there regularly and just download the podcast, I'd suggest you check it out, everythingdigital.org. I've got a lot of stuff that I don't even have time to mention on the podcast. I'll just throw up there little news items, and I've begun posting a whole lot more frequently there. Just, I don't know, I felt like it. And also I've found some new tools to help me do it a whole lot easier. But I'll talk about those later. For now, let's get started with those 5 5-second news headlines. Microsoft is planning to release 10 new security alerts and fixes Tuesday, that was old news, for critical flaws detected in the Windows operating system. Yes, I've had these show notes for a while. Nokia and Intel have announced a new network of data services that includes high-speed broadband internet connections for handsets. MSN Music has recently shown interest in developing into an online music subscription service similar to those of Yahoo and Napster. Sprint and Yahoo have announced a mobile version of Yahoo Mail for use on phones, allowing users to check email over Sprint's network. And HP is claiming that it has made a major breakthrough in chip design, allowing for better, faster nanoelectronic circuits. And those are the 5 5-second news headlines. There are links to the full stories in the show notes at everythingdigital.org. Alright, trying to get back into the rhythm here. Let's go ahead and start off with Michael Dell's expressed interest in licensing Mac OS X. Michael Dell said recently, "If Apple decides to open the Mac OS to others, we would be happy to offer it to our customers." Of course, Steve Jobs has said many times that even though Mac OS X will work on Intel processors now, that's no reason for them to start just licensing it to anyone who makes computers with Intel processors in them. Because even though it may work on them, Apple likes to, and this is a good thing, likes to monitor how their computers are constructed. That's part of what makes an Apple computer so great, is it's all meant to work perfectly with itself. It's like when Adam Curry was talking about the Cast Blaster, and he was saying how for Windows there's all these different sound cards, and you have to specifically have the program look and see what sound card the computer has, and for each different sound card you have to have a completely different set of settings, like in the program. You almost have to write 100 or 200 different versions of the program for different sound cards. It's crazy. But since on a Mac, they design all that is Apple's, Apple uses the same sound card and the same type of circuitry and the same hard drives, the same, all the components are meant to work with each other, and they're all, it's one unified set of components, so it's not like you've got all these different third-party components that are being put together and then sold by a third party. It's all right there. So I could see how Apple, even though it may mean more money and more market penetration for them to license macOS 10, definitely would mean a reduction in the quality of the machines coming out with the operating system on it. So I can understand where they're coming from there, and I can understand where Michael Dell's coming from wanting to license macOS 10, because definitely always good, always a good thing to have as many options for your products as possible. And if Dell could sell both Mac and Windows PCs, they would really be a whole lot bigger than they are now, and right now they're huge. Another thing, British Telecom's BT Fusion is a new handset that works on both a landline and cellular connection. So that means it switches automatically between both connections, whether you're out in the street or in the office somewhere where there's only cell reception, or you could be in your home, and there's a little base station called the BT Hub, which is a wireless access point and allows for the switch using Bluetooth communications. So you could be outside on the cell phone and come inside, and automatically, as soon as you come within range of that BT Hub, the phone switches over to connecting with that hub via Bluetooth, and now you're not using your cellular minutes. So it definitely a good idea for people who are sort of almost thinking about canceling their landline just because they want to have one unified handset, but don't quite think the cellular plans are what they want to just rely on, you know, the limited number of minutes, etc. Good compromise here. Now, the problem is you've got to have both a subscription to the cellular service and the landline service. So it's still the same price as having one landline phone and one cellular phone. But still interesting, bridging that gap, which is an ever-growing gap, as a whole lot of people have started to cancel their landline phones and just use cell phones, just for the convenience. Internet Explorer is adding support for tabbed browsing. They have promised it in Internet Explorer version 7. However, the MSN Search Toolbar has just released an updated version for Internet Explorer version 6 that helps IE to slightly catch up to Firefox's features by adding, among other features, tabbed browsing. So it's a little MSN Toolbar extension that goes ahead and adds tab browsing to Internet Explorer, a feature that it was sorely lacking in comparison to Safari and Firefox and pretty much any other alternative browser. IBM and Lenovo, or actually probably just Lenovo now, they've sold their laptop PC business and tablet PC business over to Lenovo by now, has released the X41T tablet PC. It's dubbed the Tablet ThinkPad and will come with Windows XP Tablet Edition 2005, have a 12-inch 180-degree rotatable screen, up to 8.5 hours of battery life, which is a big deal. I can't imagine how they're getting that much battery life out of the thing without some new generation battery, but pretty amazing. And we'll have 802.11 A, B, and G wireless support. So this is an attempt to sort of ignite the tablet PC industry, which really has not been has not lived up to expectations. I think people, if they're going to buy a tablet, they're going to buy a smaller one, a little Palm or something like that, a PDA, but not a larger tablet PC or at least I wouldn't, because who wants to regularly, as your main PC, be writing by hand? Keyboards are so much faster. So I think that's why the tablet PCs aren't really selling right now. But of course, this 8.5 hours of battery life could change that, because no laptop right now, or I shouldn't say no, but most conventional laptops right now do not get anywhere near that amount of battery life. So that could really help. But Windows and Lenovo trying to sort of recover the lost ground in the tablet industry, or the ground that never really was there with this new tablet. Got some PodSafe music for you. This is the Chillum Brothers. This is Jacaranda on the Everything Digital Podcast.
a mighty ocean, but loses its individuality. So when the time of death comes to you, when it's time for you to leave, don't resist your revelation. Join the raindrop and the breeze.
Is Jacaranda from the Chillum Brothers. So Skype voicemail has come out of beta, finally. It's a service that has been around since, for a couple months now, anyway. And it's been in beta. It was free for a couple weeks, but then they started charging for it. And now it's finally come to an official release, along with Skype for Windows version 1.3. The pricing is still at $7 for 3 months or $19 for 1 year. Check it out, skype.com. I don't personally use it. I've got my 2069, the EDP line on K7.net, so I figured that's sufficient. But if you want to integrate with Skype, Skype voicemail is a good way to do it. And continuing innovation from Skype. They got probably released three new services recently. They've got Skype Voicemail, Skype In, which gives you your own phone number, and Skype Out, of course, lets you call regular phones. Safari, Apple's Safari browser, is making its debut on Nokia smartphones. The next generation Nokia web browsers will be mobile versions of Safari. The phones currently run a mobile version of Opera, but Safari will be used on Nokia Symbian Series 60 phones in the near future, and it is unknown whether it will be used on Series 80 or not, but it is likely. Nokia says it will, quote-unquote, actively participate in the open-source community as a result of this open-source mobile web browser. And the new version of the browser is planned to be released in the first half of 2006. So look forward to that, Nokia users. So recently, I've been using, and this is what I was talking about, it being a little easier for me to make weblog posts now. Recently, I've been trying out different desktop weblog editing clients. Now I use MovableType to maintain the blog, and that's MovableType.org, I believe. That's what does all the formatting. Obviously, I've customized it a bit, but that's what does all the formatting. Lets me do the posts, lets me edit the posts, edit comments, that kind of thing. But I tried out two desktop clients that just connect to my server and let me edit from my computer, and the first one was a free one. It was Blog App, which I was very disappointed with. I'm not even going to put a link to that in the show notes, because not something that you probably want to use. It my main problem with it was I would make a post, it'd be fine. Then I'd go back and try to edit that post. And then when I posted that edit, it would copy the original text and add the edit on to the end of that. So now, when I posted, I'd have two versions of the text right next to each other. So it really messed things up, and you can probably see, I think on the second page of the everythingdigital.org site, you can see the test post that I did with it. It's just a mess. I've got like three different updates there. First one's like, yeah, this is working pretty well. Second one's like, uh-oh, there's a problem here. And the third one's like, I'm not using this program. So anyway, pretty disappointing as far as blog app goes, but I also tried a program called Ecto. Now, Ecto is a ECTO. It's a pretty popular blog editing program, supports tons of different blogs, and is just loaded with features. I can do things now I didn't even know I could do with my site, including attach files to my posts so that when you look at the site's RSS feed, you can see the podcast there. I'm not quite sure this is how well this is going to work yet. I'll have to give it a test with this podcast, but it will mean, if it's successful, that instead of having to use the separate podcast feed to get the new shows, you can just use also the site's RSS feed. So you'll get both the text posts that I'm making and the podcasts. So that works perfectly with iPodRx 3.0 if you've got it, since that supports both the regular text and podcast entries. So anyway, expect a whole lot of updates on everythingdigital.org, any news items that I can dig up. I've subscribed to a couple different PR feeds from different companies, so I'll be posting when I see something interesting come up. And so, yeah, stay tuned and stay looking or subscribe to the everythingdigital.org RSS feed. There's a link there on the site on the right sidebar. It has a little XML icon. You can subscribe to the text posts as well. And possibly I'll let you know through the website whether or not this enclosure thing actually works with Ecto, actually automatically attaching the podcast to the RSS feed entry on the site. So the subscription model I talked about last show obviously didn't work very well, since I don't have a sponsor this show, so I'm revising it. I've been talking with Scott Fletcher from the Podcheck Weekly Review, and he's come up with the name the Beggars and Choosers model, meaning the podcasters are the beggars, they ask for money, and the choosers are the advertisers. They come and say which podcast they want to give money to in exchange for a sponsorship. So it's a pretty good model as far as flexibility on both ends. But the way I presented it apparently didn't quite work, because I guess $10 is not a fair price for sponsoring the Everything Digital podcast. Now, I thought it was a pretty good price, $10 to reach probably between 1,000 and 1,500 people. That's not a bad deal, but I'm revising it. So now I'm putting the limit, the minimum, at $5. But I'm also saying that there's a suggested range of between $5 and $10. And by the time I come up with and record the next show, whichever person is offering the highest advertising amount, the highest bid for the week, will get the sponsorship. So suggested range between $5 and $10. And of course, you can go higher, but whoever, by the time I record the next show, has the highest bid, gets the sponsorship, they can PayPal me whatever they offered, and they get sponsorship of that show. Just a few seconds here and there devoted to the sponsor, But pretty good. I think a pretty good model as far as flexibility on both ends. All right, so with that, that's all I got for today. Got some outro music. This is from the Fractal Quintet. This is Simon Samba. And you can post comments on the site at everythingdigital.org if you so desire. You can subscribe to the Everything Digital Podcast at everythingdigital.org/rss.xml. You can email me, alan@everythingdigital.org, or you can Skype instant message or Skype call me. My ID is Everything Digital. You can also AOL Instant Messenger IM me. My screen name is Podcaster, or you can call 206-9-THE-EDP or 206-984-3337 and leave an audio comment. Thanks for listening, and stay subscribed. We'll be right back.